Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Tonight is Tuesday, May 8th, 2018, and we've got a lot of action going on this week. And it more than ever reinforces our analysis and anatomy of repression. If you want any examples of what colonialism and imperialism is, you have been observing it this week. Without further ado, we're going to open up our program as we usually do with Brother Ralph giving us his credo. Ralph Poynter, what's happening in the house?
Thank you so much for that, Sister Betty. This is Ralph Poynter and my credo. And I'm going to make it short this evening, but you all know what it is. The overriding element in every situation in a black life is racism. Birth, elementary school, health, housing, food, etc. Black lives have never mattered in America except when money is being made by others through the labor of people of color. Well, there is so much to talk about this week. I'm going to let it go until the end of the program when I give you my full credo. But the last
All
lines
right,
are...
Ralph. We thank you and we look forward to that. We've also got another slight change in our program. Due to an emergency situation, Brother Joel is asking if he can start the program off tonight because he has a commitment later on in the evening. So, Brother Joel, your mic is open. I repeat, Brother Joel, your mic is open.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can.
Your mic.
Okay. I'm going to be able to stay on the whole hour, so I'd rather do it the usual way if that's possible.
Yes, that's why we opened your mic first. We realize you have an emergency. We understand. So please proceed.
I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be on the whole hour. So I'll come on later at the time that I usually do. I'm not prepared to take off now.
Appreciate that, Brother Joel. Thank you. So, Brother Larry, our Black Panther and former political prisoner, one who freed himself. Your mic is open, or you're in the house.
Thank you very much, Sister Professor Betty Davis, and I'm looking forward to hearing from not only Brother Joel and Tom, and of course Sister Ann Lamb, and of course Brother Ralph. I'm sure will be back on, and perhaps Nat Turner, Raymond Nat Turner as well. Let me get right down to brass tooth and nail tack, whatever they're called. I think by now most of us know that Brother Herman Bell, we've heard the good news, and I say good news, and I say that in quotation marks, because after spending approximately 45 years in the death camps, well, I have to qualify the word good. But I'm sure glad, as I know all of us are, that the brother is out of that situation. And I say, and I thank you, when I say you, I mean all of the panelists, all of the listeners, all of the people, and I want to say all power to the people. Thank you. The brother is obviously still sane, still lucid, and that is a blessing in and of itself. All power to the people. Now, I want to talk a bit, as usual, about our political prisoners, other political prisoners. We need to keep tabs on what's happening with Brother Mumia Abu-Jamal. I reiterate that I strongly believe that this brother was framed, that he was set up, and we have every obligation to persevere on behalf of Brother Mumia. And so please do not forget him. Do not forget any of our political prisoners for that matter. And I must say, I'm dying to hear information, and I use the word brother judiciously. I'm anxious to hear information with respect, or to receive information with respect to Brother Leonard Peltier. My latest report that I received, I already made that report last week. I knew that his legal team was going through some harassment, some problems, to put it very mildly. So as soon as I get any information, of course, I will convey it. Perhaps Sister Ann Lamb or others might have information that I do not have. So I just want to say, let's keep him in our hearts, in our minds, and in our struggle. At this point, again, I do not want to belabor things. I want to emphasize what I've always emphasized, and that is we must free our political prisoners. It's a long, hard, protracted struggle. It's a long, hard, protracted fight, but it must be done, and we are the ones to do it. So once again, let me say I believe in the right and the responsibility of self-defense. I believe strongly in that, as I have for many, many years now. And self-defense includes being aware consciously. It's not just a physical thing. Perhaps even it's first and foremost a psychological or mental thing. We need to raise our consciousness among all of our people, black, white, brown, red, and yellow, so that we understand what kind of serious, serious conditions that we're facing. I just finished reading an article, and I'm going to get off very quickly, about Hillary Clinton. and her buddy, Barack Obama. But I was specifically honed in on Hillary. You all know, I'm sure, and remember that this creature took, she and Bill Clinton, took $10 billion, I repeat, $10 billion from the people of Haiti. Let us not forget what we're dealing with. Let us please remember that. And, you know, we know where she belongs. She belongs under the prison, not in it, under it, along with a bunch of other folks who, it's hard to even call them folks. I call them creatures. So all power to the people. I'm going to keep quiet. I'm going to listen. I'm looking forward, as I said, with great anticipation to hearing all of you. All of you. Love you all. All power to the people. Free our political prisoners. Thank you so much.
We appreciate you, Brother Pinckney. We really, really do. As everybody knows who's been above ground, Trump reversed the arrangement, if you want to call it that, with Iran and the JCPOA, and he's made it clear that any nation that does not follow suit will also suffer the same consequences. In addition to that, in New York, the Attorney General, who is supposedly part of the Me Too movement, was himself accused. That story broke today. And we're all familiar with Kanye West's brilliant analysis that people are choosing slavery. Our spin on that was, well, perhaps they should ask Herman Bell and Mamiya and Brother Larry Pinckney and all the rest of our freedom fighters, you know, who can speak for themselves. I'm sure Lynn Stewart would have had some comments on that one, that we choose or we volunteer for slavery. In addition to that, I'm sure you heard that the Army engineers are going to be leaving Puerto Rico, and the corrupt, decadent, incompetent authorities there will be back in charge. There are so many issues that absolutely confirm our analysis that you cannot have an anatomy of oppression without understanding colonialism and imperialism, and you will never understand colonialism or imperialism if you don't analyze the American robbery capitalist system. Without further ado, Brother Tom has an interesting update to share with us, which deals with the way they implement the vicious form of oppression and capitalism in New York City. Brother Tom, your mic is going to be open in a second. There you go. Brother Tom, your mic is open.
Greetings, everyone. I just wanted to tell you about what's happening in New York City regarding the rent situation and also gentrification. This sort of thing is happening in many big cities throughout the country, and what it amounts to is nothing more than the segregation and, well, the displacement of working class people, particularly communities of color, and their further segregation. And all of this, of course, is ignored by the mass media and the so-called Progressive Democratic Party. A recent Daily News article entitled "The Mayor's Near Freeze Reliance on Loopholes in the System" cites only one loophole: the 20% turnover increase on rent-regulated apartments once a tenant vacates that apartment. Actually, this so-called loophole hardly exists, because landlords routinely take the apartment completely off rent regulation and charge whatever they want, because the vacancy decontrol regulations are not enforced. Now, Cynthia Nixon, who styles herself as a progressive Democrat and who is running against the governor in the Democratic primary, says she will eliminate this 20% turnover increase. But like I said, it's a meaningless statement because the landlords don't even follow that. She does, and she does not say that she would end vacancy control or the other increases rent-regulated tenants have to face. Now, most of the working class that still live in the city depend upon these rent-regulated apartments or the public housing. So this is a very important issue. There are real loopholes in this whole system that no one mentions. The Daily News article does not mention a whole bunch of these real loopholes. The article does say that despite rising landlord costs, they are realizing higher profits than in recent history. The reason is because of real loopholes, such as the so-called major capital improvements. This is a permanent surcharge levied on both rent-stabilized and rent-controlled apartments if the landlord makes a so-called improvement, such as a new stove, a refrigerator, new windows, or pointing the bricks on the outside of the building. And these surcharges can amount to as much as 6% increase on the monthly rent. Now the rent, the New York Rent Guidelines Board, which is controlled by the mayor, is proposing a 2.75% increase on a 2-year rent stabilized lease. Now, if the former rent was $1,000, that would amount to $27.50 more a month. But if the major capital improvement can amount up to 6%, then the total rent would be an additional $89 a month, or a monthly increase of almost 9%. Rent-controlled tenants, and they were grandfathered in before 1971, their increases are determined by the New York State Division of Housing, which is controlled by the governor, and their increases have been much higher. There are around 900,000 rent-stabilized apartments in New York City, and therefore these tenants have some political clout with the mayor. But there are only around 40,000 of us, I'm one of them, rent-controlled apartments in the city, and most of whom are of us are seniors on fixed income, and we have no clout with the governor. If we start with an equal rent in 1972 between rent-stabilized tenants and rent-controlled tenants, and that's when the rent stabilization law went into effect, by now, rent-controlled tenants would be paying twice the amount in rent that rent-stabilized tenants pay. And that does not include those major capital improvement or other increases. Meanwhile, the governor has a tax program. It's called 421A, which gives billions of dollars in tax exemptions to big real estate developers to construct high-rise luxury residential buildings. And the mayor has a program called Mandatory Inclusionary Housing and Zoning, which was overwhelmingly passed by the Democrat New York City Council. And this gives these developers zoning variances to allow even taller high-rise luxury buildings. All this is resulting in more gentrification, displacing working-class tenants and mom-and-pop businesses and those they employ, and the majority of whom are people of color. And all of this exposes the hypocrisy and the mendacity of this so-called, quote, lesser of two evil party, the Democratic Party.
Wow.
That's it.
Thank you. That's definitely it. That's what capitalism is all about. I live in such
right.
a neighborhood, and not far from me, more than 2,000 tenants got their dispossess notices in one day. And one of the developments that's been around since the 1950s, some of them have lived in the building, in this building, as a community for more than 30 to 50 years. And the landlords decided to go up on the rent to the tune of $1,000 and issued the dispossess notices. And when you look at what they did certain parts of Africa, and I include Iran in that, you look at the deal, they froze Iranian assets. So when a rich developer is able to implement 421A, which says they don't have to pay taxes for 10 years, that's the effect of a sanction against the people who live in that community. Because if they paid their taxes, they could afford moderate to low-income housing. And we are supposedly citizens, part of that so-called social contract that Rousseau lied about, and yet we are being treated like enemy combatants and pushed off our reservation. So capitalism and imperialism, no matter where you find it, acts the same way. And this is what causes political prisoners, because nobody really volunteers for slavery. And anybody who has the skills to fight back, fights back. And so my question, again, is to Kanye West. People volunteer for slavery? Why don't you ask our political prisoners who fought back? Without further ado, Sister Ann, seems like this is time for you to speak. Your mic is open. Tell us what's happening, New York City, Jericho.
Oh, New York City, Jericho has been very busy in the past while, as I'm sure you know, with all these things going on. We're still waiting, and speaking of Herman Bell, we're still waiting to hear the outcome of this latest appeal that the PBA is doing up in Albany, which we should know today or tomorrow. I haven't heard anything yet, but I will be in touch with my friend Laura Whitehorn, who's been spearheading this whole thing, to find out. And we'll see where it goes from there. We were supposed to see him, some of us were going to see him last Saturday, but that got postponed because they upped his security level because of this pending thing in Albany. So hopefully that will be resolved in the next day, and we'll actually be able to see Herman, which would be wonderful. On the bad news side, my dear friend Robert Seth Hayes will be going to the parole board on June 12th. That's not bad news in itself. The bad news is that he has had, since March 28th, they took away his insulin pump on March 28th because it wasn't working properly. And we wonder why. Anyway, he still does not have the insulin pump. Dr. Wolf, who is the facility doctor, not the endocrinologist, she is the facility doctor, she's not a specialist in diabetes, has decided that it is too bothersome to be bothered, therefore he shouldn't have it. So he's back to where he was, status quo antes, getting four insulin shots a day and finger sticks and all this nonsense, which has never worked properly for him. The whole reason that he got the pump, which we had to fight for him to get to begin with, was because the doctor, the endocrinologist, who was formerly at Coxsackie and was now at Albany Medical Center, is recommended to him as a life-saving measure because he cannot tell when his sugars are high or when they are low. He knows they're off, but he doesn't know which way. That was the whole point of him getting the pump to begin with, right? So he had a first pump, which, you know, they foobarred that. Then he got a second one, which was actually a better one anyway. And now they're telling him he can't have that either. So this is like really concerning because you're like, okay, you know the guy is going to the parole board on June 12th. Are you deliberately trying to make sure that his sugars are so out of whack that he's not going to be able to deal with that? You know,
exactly.
In the way that he should be? That is what I think.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah,
so,
I do too.
Yeah, that would make sense, right? So we are going to, I'm going to be putting up, it's not up yet, but I will be putting up another campaign for him. We're not going to bother calling Sullivan Correctional Facility anymore. The heck with them. We're going to talk with Dr. Carl Konigsman, who is the chief medical officer. I'd love to know where he got his degree. And Anucci, who is the acting commissioner. Well, somebody informed me that the reason he's been the acting commissioner, this is interesting, he's been the acting commissioner for like 3 or 4 years. And somebody informed me that the reason he's the acting commissioner and not the actual commissioner is because he makes more money as the acting commissioner than he would if he was actually named the actual commissioner. I said, oh, very interesting. So he'll be the acting commissioner for an endless amount of time, right? Anyway, we're going to focus on those two, you know, and demand that he be taken to Albany Medical Center to see the endocrinologist, which was supposed to happen in March. Here we are, it's May, right? Hasn't happened. And Seth thinks, and I would agree with Seth, that the reason they don't want to do that is because, of course, this little insulin pump has a little hard drive. And a little hard drive records everything that is there. You know, it has a history. And, of course, Sullivan, so-called medical staff, are busy trying to, you know, CYA. So they don't want anybody to see the information in that. And that would be one reason for not taking him to Albany Medical Center. And I would think that's probably highly likely. So, you know, this situation is pretty dire. He is next up after Herman. We're very happy about Herman, don't get me wrong. But we know what the repercussions may be. And the repercussions may well be that Seth will get denied because of the backlash around Herman. That's where we're sitting. I would hate to see that happen. But it has been the pattern in the past. One person walks and everybody else gets punished. So I wouldn't be surprised if it continued. I would be very happily surprised if it did not continue and they said, oh, Seth has made the board, he's coming home.
And this reinforces what the public is saying, that 85% that instantly said to release Herman Bell when the Post did that online poll.
The CBS News did that online poll, yeah.
CBS, pardon me. They said this is vindictive. This is vindictive treatment. And many
it
of
is.
Them made it clear that the FOP is out of control. And why don't you add, while you're giving us this update, the rest of the information that you put out on your website recently about them claiming they're going to stop the prisoners from getting books from outside sources, and they will only be able to get books from the publishers that have contracts with the Bureau of Prisons?
Right. Well, I did put that out, but then I did see that recently that there may, I think it might have been just today, that they have rescinded that policy. So I have to double check on that to see if that is so. But there was an update.
Where they are pushing and sending up a flag to see who salutes it. It means we've got to be ever vigilant because we are fast moving beyond concentration camps and death camps to extermination camps.
Right. Absolutely. That's, you know, where we're going. It's very clear. And, you know, they tried to do it in New York State. They had already done that. We beat that back temporarily, at least. You know, like we're going to stop the packages. There was also a whole thing regarding reading materials and books. And there was a big, you know, outcry about that. And I think the similar thing has happened now in BOP because that wasn't BOP-wide. That was in certain prisons.
Right.
And when the BOP director, former military man whose last name is Inch, was confronted with this, he was like, I don't know about that. Let me check it out. Right. And then apparently he did check it out. And then apparently now it's been said that this is not going to happen. But well, I have to look for that to have it in writing, you know. Because I did see it.
All right.
And I was like, oh, that's good.
Thank you, Ann. I know how discouraging it is, but we appreciate you for keeping the voice of our prisoners out there, because that is the purpose of this blog. Let no one misunderstand that. This is to make sure that they know the whole world is watching, the whole world is listening. And
right.
Your voice is very important because it represents
Thank
their
you.
Voice, as does Brother Larry.
Right.
Without further ado,
I would like
we
to say just one more thing. Can I say just one more
yes.
thing? It can be discouraging at times,
Ralph.
But I'm also very encouraged and inspired by my friends who are behind the walls because of how wonderful people they are and how positive they are. And, you know, their analysis is very similar to our analysis in terms of what's going on out here. They are well-informed. They are really wonderful, wonderful people. I know because you guys came and met Jaleel, and he wants to see you again, so we'll make sure that happens soon, right? And also
and
to meet Seth. Yes.
For almost a half a century, so we know how wonderful political prisoners are.
I know that. I know you know
why.
That. I know you know that. But I was saying for other people who may not know that, you know. I know
right.
you know that.
Right on. Right on. Brother Larry, was that you that wanted to interject?
That was me, Sister Betty.
Uh-oh. Go ahead.
Okay. Oh, go to Ralph.
Ralph, yeah. I wanted to get back to the main issue of our program this evening. And it's Mr. West's statement, his slavery choice. And our question was, ask our political prisoners. And I want to take that a little further. I say, ask family members of political prisoners. Ask the descendants of 9 million black Africans who were marched on the Arab trade routes to be traded to black Africans in turn to be sold to white Christian Europeans in turn to be subject to a new, most vicious form of slavery which has been resisted for 350 years. That is why we're talking about political prisoners. Those who understood and resisted. And we all know the history of slave uprisings. And I say to those listening, the Industrial Revolution was partially based on the ability to make guns quickly to keep people enslaved. Ask those who resisted slavery at every moment in history, including today, and I repeat, including today, our political prisoners. But more important than that, ask yourself the time-honored question famously put by Shakespeare, to be or not to be, whether 'tis nobler to take arms against the sea of trouble, etc., etc., etc.
Very good.
And that leads us to another important question. And what have I done or what am I doing to in support of liberation? Is personal acquisition of goods enough? Is the election of Obama enough? Is the success of Oprah enough? Is the notoriety of Beyonce enough? Or need we all raise our fist against genocide, ethnic cleansing called gentrification, miseducation, lack of health care, lack of housing, etc.? Is there a higher calling that we all must answer? That is the question. And dare we ask for support by the many who have not yet decided to live up to a claimed morality and sense of justice? May we ask them to join the few who have paid the ultimate price in their quest of liberty and justice for all? I think that those of us who have been involved in the struggle, as you said, Sister Betty, for half a century and more, for those who have been in the death camps for half a century, for all of those who fought this evil empire and continue
to fight it. How dare this young man who has been the beneficiary of all of the struggles of liberation get so caught up in his own personal success based on the ability, the limited ability of the young of color to create their own art form and then pay for it? That is the question. And we must dare, as Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. did, to go to James Brown and say, do something now for our political prisoners. Do something now, or we will not allow you to perform in our major cities unless you show some support for our struggle. And that's where James Brown's song, political song, came from. I'm black and I'm proud. And so we must say to Kanye West, do something on behalf of this struggle for liberation that has been going on ever since the first person on the planet, including the many black Africans who were brought here. They were brought here as a result of warfare. They fought. Study up on your history. Ask someone to tell you the truth about slavery being a choice, and choose for yourself the support of liberation by doing something. Thank you for that, Sister Betty.
Right on. Nope, we're going to go straight to the poet. Brother Raymond, your mic is open.
Okay, thank you. I have a piece that I did a couple of years ago. It's called Weekly Mass Murders of a Warfare State. One, a father's fire engine red eyes flood his pillow, mourning his dear daughter. Another mother has failed at counting sheep for the 15th time as the sun comes up and her son's bed is still made, and the clock and the click of double locks is unseen. The commander, the drone ranger, doesn't do Tuesday shows live. He pre-records his playlist of golden oldies for heavy rotation. Our hearts and prayers go out waltz. Senseless violence sonata, the gun control conga. He has another playlist, a list of places to see and people to kill, a playlist of smash hits, Tarantino shorts, sans N-word, shot weekly in Syria, Yemen, Afghanistan, Iraq, then pitched softly like Jell-O, Puddin', Dr. Huxter bullshit. Warheads, weaponized chatterers of the head-fixing industry act mystified, at a loss to figure out what happened. Then fire fusillades of gunmen, madmen, crazy men, deranged shooters with rambling manifestos at 99%ers risking real questions like, what homicidal, suicidal side effects do shooters suffer? Popping doo-wopish shantics, Lovox, Pristig, Prozac, antidepressants. Do big pharma dope dealers face liability? What is it about capitalist exploitation, cutthroat competition, alienation, isolation of a warfare state that drives men mad.
Mm-hmm.
What's racism, sexism, classism, elitism, homophobia, no affordable housing, no free health care, no free education got to do with it? Got to do with it. Do they factor into the walking wounded, cubicle casualties snapping? Can we set alarms, calendars? Can we play numbers? 9, 12, there, 26, 32, here. To weekly mass murder in American malls, theaters, churches, classrooms, newsrooms, boardrooms. Business as usual in New York City. Time refuses to waddle with young men whose pants hang off their butts. It goose steps double time in Brooks Brothers suits like Wall Street gangsters on speed. Preschool daily news delights in show and tell of how the latest shooter bothered with wig, shawl, shades, six clips, and three license plates. When really blue uniform badge, camouflage fatigue, and combat boots suffice once killing pauses. Figures don't lie, but liars figure. Does gunfire kill 88 a day in the USA? Can Canadians, Aussies, Brits, French, Japanese, even Germans wag foam fingers and chant, USA, USA, number one. Can they compete in drugging, driving mad, jailing, and killing their people? Two, in discussing this week's mass murders, mention the colonial settler project called America, a scorched earth real estate scam, and homicidal speculator squatters like Old Hickory, made mortgages of massacred men, women, children, slaughtered buffalo, deer, burned crops, cooked books, and broken treaties, original shock doctrines, guaranteed by guerrillas in the midst of Gatling guns, carbines, muskets. They flipped mountains, valleys, rivers, lakes, serially sold and resold stolen land over and over and over, dead bodies again and again, tore down yellow tape, compromising crime scenes, erased memory of mass murder, she wrote, and made lead final offers, forceps for breach birth of a nation.
Well, that's a history in poem. The poetry
and
of history.
One more time.
The poetry, yes.
That is so wonderful. Thank you again, Raymond Matt Turner. Sister Betty.
Brother Raymond, you've got to keep us up to date in terms of how your program is going for July 3rd.
Next week I'll have a brief comment on it, and trying to get Brother Ralph there and Sister Ann Lamb. If we can get that dynamic duo in the house, then all bets are off. We got our secret weapons then.
We'll have to release them from their duties for the program that night. No two ways about it.
We'll just have to do that, right?
I'd like to remind you that May 12th, the first annual conference, Palestine Lives, Resisting Settler Colonialism Since 1948. This first annual conference will take place at Hunter College from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Hunter College is 695 Park Avenue, at the corner of Lexington Avenue. There's free child care, the reasonable request for a donation at the door, and Pam Africa's going to be there, Sekou Odinga, Mark Lamont Hill, It's going to be quite a gathering of resistors. And once again, it's called Palestine Lives, Resisting Settler Colonialism. And within that same framework, I believe Friday there's going to be the, shall we say, marking of the bombing of the Move family. And that event will be taking place in Philadelphia. I will have more information on that before we close out the program. Without further ado, however, I want to open the mic for Sister Gwen. I think she's in the house. And then we'll go to
Hi.
Brother Joel. Hi, how are you?
Hi, Betty. How are you? Hi, Ralph. Guess what?
I stayed
awake tonight. I'm sorry. I fell asleep last time. So please forgive me.
You're forgiven.
it's hard for me to stay up this late. Okay. I've been thinking about Eric Schneiderman today, the AG. And there's a lot of different reasons why this thing really pissed me off. And I think the first thing that made me really angry was when I hear this guy is spitting on women and calling them names and slapping them in the face. And I think, you know, what a little pissant you are. So insecure you are that you have to do this to prove you're a real man. That was one thing that went off in my head. And then the next thing when I heard NPR talking about it, I hear Brian Lehrer say, well, did any of the women call the police? You know, so I called them up and I said, you know, most people would not call the police on a slap in the face because most women would be in shock. Anybody would be in shock if somebody that you were with slapped you in the face. It's shocking. But I said, even if somebody did call the police are not coming. They're not coming in my neighborhood unless you have a knife hanging at your stomach. So, that was really annoying to me to hear him kind of put it back on the women. But the other thing I was perturbed about was he has several cases out against Donald Trump. And how could he be acting like such a fool when he's trying to call Trump out on his own stuff? Didn't he realize that this is what happens in politics? They're going to look for everything that's wrong behind the scenes, and then they're going to get you. As a matter of fact, that's why most of the people are in politics today. Melissa Mark Viverita will never be prosecuted for living in public housing. Not until she screws with somebody she's not supposed to, and her term is up and she's out. But she is as dirty as they come. Meanwhile, Alan Hevesy is sitting in prison because his wife was riding around in a limousine while she had cancer. Now, that's not really why he's in prison, but this is how it works in politics. Only the really dirty ones get in because it's that dirt that keeps you in politics.
Yeah.
So when Schneiderman gets up there and does this, there's one last thing that I think everyone missed, and I heard it today on a talk show, and I thought it was an excellent point. And what has happened with all of the black murders in this city that Eric Schneiderman has not investigated, he has not prosecuted, he has not called into question the police that have done these murders, have committed these murders. And yet today, a few women come out, and I think they were right to come out and out him on what he did. But I think the bigger problem is here is that the person who's supposed to be prosecuting people that are committing crimes didn't prosecute anybody. I mean, we saw Eric Garner murdered on our television sets, all of us. We watched a live murder on our TV sets. Nobody was fazed. I mean, a few people, you know, got out there and did something, but but we all knew that nothing was going to happen because it's totally legal in this country now to go ahead and shoot black people. I mean, it's been going on for many, many years, but there was at least a time where I think people were trying to hide. They weren't actually just, you know, coming right out and doing this all the time. But I think that was one point that really got missed today when people were talking about the Eric Schneiderman case. And I guess the last thing I want to say is that I also am suspect of all the Democrats that are being outed when it comes to, you know, these sex cases, because most of them seem to be Democrats, and it seems to be happening to kind of get rid of them from going against Trump. So, you know, I mean, some of the other ones I thought were ridiculous. I thought Al Franken having to step down from his job because he, while he wasn't in political office, he acted like an idiot with a woman, but he didn't touch her. He didn't kiss her. And I just thought it was really ridiculous to ask the one person that is taking on Jeff Sessions and several other very high up and very frightened people to have him step down. I found that was really insulting. And I guess the other problem with the way these things are happening is nobody's being prosecuted. Nobody's being investigated. We're just saying, here, you're out of a job, you're out of a life, you're out of everything. Bill Cosby comes to mind. I don't care if you think he's guilty or not. The fact of the matter, he was not given a fair trial because it happened in Norristown, Pennsylvania, right next to where I grew up. And I'm telling you, Norristown, Pennsylvania is a very white, very Trump city. And this guy was tried there because they knew they would get a slam dunk. There were all kinds of other problems, like bringing in five people that were not allowed to testify the first time. They came in as witnesses that where there was a crime they say that had been committed, but had not been proven yet. So there was all kinds of problems with this. To me, the biggest problem is that Harvey Weinstein's still out there on the loose, very, very violent predator. And Bill Cosby is 80 years old, and he's going to go sit in prison. Now, I'm not saying that what he did was right or wrong, but I think, you know, I think it's probably going to sound very naive, but I surely wish that we had an equal justice system here. And I think that, you know, until people like Harvey Weinstein can start going down, that people like Bill Cosby, I mean, they've ruined him all the way down the line. And I got to say that people are all not all good and not all bad, and that also probably sounds juvenile, but it is true. You know, the older I get, not everything is all black and white. There is gray area with everything. And, you know, yes, this man was wrong if he committed these crimes, but he also did some great things in his life, too. I've always enjoyed Bill Cosby. I mean, from when I was a little kid listening to his records, I thought he was hilarious. And I hate to see him have to go down. I believe the reason why he's really going down is not because of the crimes they say he committed. It is because he's a black man who got very famous and very wealthy and was held up as a role model. I mean, I think this is the real reason why he was the first one to go down for these so-called crimes. And again, I speak as a victim of rape. My first experience with sex was when I was raped as a virgin when I was 16. So I take these things very, very seriously. But I don't want to see women and victims being exploited to make political careers for people like Jeff Sessions and Donald Trump go along a little more smoothly. So I think that's – oh, and just one last thing, if you don't mind. Thank you, Tom, for your work with the rent regulations and all the work you've done over the years. It's, you know, it's very much appreciated. I certainly appreciate it. But I also want to say that, you know, we allow people like Melissa Mark Viverito, who made a mockery of tenants' rights while in the city council. We allow her to sail through. Very, very few people really, really called her and so many of the city council people on their crap. I have been out here three times in Rand, and I got very, very little support from the progressive movement, and that was very disappointing because if you look at my record, I have been true blue and stayed true to the causes, all the causes. I've been very outspoken. And, you know, there again, it seems like, well, you know, we really like what you have to say, but we can't get behind you. So we're just going to muddle along with people that we know are true criminals. We know that these people in the city council, many of them are true criminals, but we won't get behind somebody like me. And that's very, very disappointing because I know that I've been a very hard worker. I've always come out for tenants' rights and people's rights. And yet, when it comes to the progressives getting behind another progressive or, you know, somebody who's, I guess, like me, we don't get too much support because we're not perfect enough. But, you know, one thing I can say is I might not be perfect enough, but I sure have gone out there. I have certainly fought for good causes. And I think if people really want to see, you know, people they like, they ought to get behind small candidates like myself. I'll leave it there.
Well, we hope that Ralph, you will continue.
Your mic is open. Tom, your mic is open also.
We hope that you will continue, Gwen, because our day will come. As my father used to say, you're not beaten until you quit, and we're never going to quit. And so let it go with that, Sister Betty.
Next week, I'm going to give an update and a report on the charter revision meeting I went to in Brooklyn. I wish you had been there, Gwen. It would have really encouraged you because the auditorium was full of people like you who ran for different offices and didn't get in, and they're there to say they want to take the money out of the election process, and they want legislation passed, the charter revised, so that we're not stuck with just a two-party fantasy system. It was very, very encouraging to hear them, and more than one of them did what you said, Gwen. They stood up and said, and why are you guys sitting up there as an impartial panel? We know some of you, and we know you're not impartial. It was,
right.
was quite encouraging. Yeah. Okay. Without further ado, we're going to go to Brother Joel. But before that, I want to backpedal and give you that announcement. It is Friday in Philly. The commemoration of the May 13, 1980 bombing of the Moose family compound. And I thank New York City Jericho for this announcement. The event will take place from 5 to 8 p.m. Friday night, this coming Friday, at the African American Museum on 7th and Ark Streets in Philadelphia. For more information, please call 215-386-1165. Again, Friday, May 11th, 5 to 8 p.m., African American Museum in Philadelphia. Call 215-386-1185 for more information. All right. Brother Joel, you're back with us. Your mic is open.
Yes,
thank
hello.
You for
okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, yes. We can hear you. Very clearly
okay,
tonight.
All right. I think we didn't really get back to first of all, I want to get back to something that Tom was saying about the rent situation. I've seen a number of cases now where people have been questions about their succession to rent stabilization or rent control, and they're forced to find records from 20 or 30 or 40 years ago as to when they started living in an apartment, when they succeeded to the apartment on the vacatur of a former tenant of record, and they're making them prove it all over again and accusing them of having prolonged illegal sublets as licensees and are trying to evict rent stabilized and long time rent stabilized and long time rent control tenants over and above all the other things that Tom is mentioning, the war against the tenants, really the war against the regular people in the city on the part of the landlords. I wanted to also bring in the thing about the Trump today having announced that the United States is pulling out of the Iran nuclear treaty. And I think that as the if that treaty was a temporary stabilizer in the Middle East, it was projected at the time that the alternative to that treaty meant actual war. And we see that the bloc that was allied with Iran has now been largely successful in bringing the war in Syria that was instigated by the United States largely on behalf of its another component of world imperialism, which is very influential, to say the least, which is sometimes called the Zionist entity, or which calls itself Israel. And they don't want to. It appears that a lot of the reconciliation that Trump is projecting as an alternative to World War III with the Soviet Union, with Russia, China, North Korea, and so on, that they found this new enemy. The old one used to be labeled communism and so on, and to a large extent did represent
the consolidation of states based on working class revolution. But now a lot of it is turning, since many of those countries are no longer projecting the idea of world revolution. The enemy is shifting now to be targeting the Muslim world, which has been resisting consolidation into a New World Order type situation. And that's where the focus seems to be. And it seems that that's where the turn against Iran is coming from at the same time. So, well, I hear the background music, so I guess...
Joel, you have to start next week.
See you all next week.
Yeah, I think...
Say, Joel, can you send me your email? This is Tom Syracuse. I don't seem to have it anymore.
Who's that asking?
Tom.
I wish I knew how to be free.
I wish I could break all the chains.
May I add my voice
to
say good night once again?
I wish I could say
next week.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Brother Ralph. Good night, everybody. A wonderful program. Thank you. Larry. Thank you.
Thank you.
Would feel to be free, and we.